We celebrate Divine Mercy today, the second Sunday after Easter. Divine Mercy, of which I know only two things about Divine Mercy. One is that Divine Mercy makes no sense whatsoever. The mercy of God is beyond my understanding, because I do not know how it is that someone whom I have offended repeatedly, time and again, would allow his son to die for me for the offenses that I commit against him. It doesn't make any sense to me, because I will not do it. I will definitely deal with that fellow very harshly. Secondly, it is my understanding that divine mercy is rooted in the deep love God has for us, the love that we read about in the second reading today. It is love that has no limit. And maybe I do not understand it because I'm not a parent, because I'm sure every parent in this building, in this church, will empathize, will have some bit of divine mercy in them. There is a fraction of divine mercy in parents. I have seen it at work severally, and I'm not in doubt about it. I have seen children offend. I have seen children break the rules. And even while staring at them with anger and angst and embarrassment, if it is in public, I also see within those parents the readiness, the instant mercy that comes when that child utters those three beautiful words, "I am sorry." And especially when they are sincere, I have seen parents melt with love, even in the face of embarrassment and the offense that the children have committed. And so I'm not in doubt that parents, grandparents, have that divine mercy in them. Now, if we take it wider, if we bring it to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we can understand why that divine mercy sometimes does not make sense. Because even while we are offending, God is already handing us his mercy, as he did on the cross. God is already saying, just say those words. Just come back to me. My mercy is beyond limit. There is no end to the mercy I can give to you. And there is no sin that you can commit which I cannot forgive. That is what God is telling us today. Dear friends, if we read the letter of St. Paul to the Romans in our private Bible reading, let us read from chapter 3 to 6. I think Paul gradually gave us exactly where we are and what we can be. In chapter 3, he said that God, in his mercy, has totally poured out his love on humanity. That God, in his mercy, has totally and unconditionally poured out his love on humanity. He kept on discussing about our condition as sinners. And moving on to chapter 5, he asks the question, the very poignant question, are we to remain in sin just because God has loved us? Are we to remain in sin just because God has loved us? All have sinned, he said, and fallen short of the glory of God. But are we to remain in that sin just because God continues to love us? He answered that question himself, that it is out of the question. Chapter 6, he says, no, that we are beyond that sin that keeps on holding us down, because divine mercy has been poured out on each and every one of us. It is a candid admission that we have failed. It is a candid admission that we are weak. It is a candid admission that we need to reset time and again in our lives. Dear friends, I want to describe divine mercy just like a debit card. Just like a debit card, not a credit card, because credit card is not my money, it's someone else's money I'm spending. It's a debit card that has been given to us with trillions, unfathomable mercy that God has put into that card of divine mercy. But just like every debit card, if not activated, if not swiped, if the numbers are not entered, it just remains a card. And that is the same with divine mercy. If we do not activate the debit card of mercy that God has given us through the sacrament of confession, through the sacrament of asking for forgiveness, through the little works that we do to atone for what we have done, even when we have not gone to confession. If we do not do that, dear friends, divine mercy is not automatic. We have to swipe that card. And the card is there. There is, with God's own debit card, there is no expiry date. Until the day we enter heaven, there is no expiry date to the mercy God can give us. And we have ample examples that I can mention in the Bible. But we need to make that effort. We need to come to the font of mercy. We need to acknowledge, just like Paul told us in Romans 3:12, that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need to acknowledge that we are also responsible for this horrible thing that happened on Good Friday. We need to acknowledge that this blood also was poured out for each and every one of us. And when we do that, dear friends, we shall hear the words of salvation that Jesus uttered to those who came to him. Let us think about Zacchaeus. When Zacchaeus admitted his fault, Jesus did not offer him any forgiveness until he admitted that fault. Think about the story. The short man climbing a tree, making a spectacle of himself. Jesus stopped under the tree and said, "Come down." He didn't say, "Go home. Your sins are forgiven." He went to his house. "I'm coming to your house to dine today." He didn't say, "I'm coming to your house and I will forgive you your sins automatically." After dinner, the long dinner, of course, there will be probably 3 or 4 courses of meals and some things to go with them. After dinner, Zacchaeus confessed that he had been robbing people as a tax collector. And he said, "I will give back 4-fold what I have stolen from the people." Then, and only then, did Jesus utter the words, "Today, salvation has come to this house." It was after that confession, not before. That is how divine mercy works. Divine mercy never holds back, but we have to make a move towards that mercy. Let us also think about the thief on the cross. There were two of them, two thieves on the cross. One took his time to jeer at Jesus. The other took his time to confess his sins. He told his fellow bandit, "We deserve what we are getting," a candid admission of sin and falling short of the glory of God. Then he turned to the fountain of divine mercy and said, "Simple, remember me." He didn't even say, get me into paradise. He just said he couldn't get himself to ask for admission. Said, "Please, remember me in paradise." And that thief, ironically, was the very first person to enter into paradise, because it wasn't tomorrow, it wasn't next week, it wasn't when I'm done saving those who have lived a good life. No, today you will be with me in paradise. Divine mercy is waiting for us, dear friends. Let us swipe that debit card of mercy, because it is simply there, sitting and waiting for us to take hold of it. May the peace of the Lord be with you.